You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and I'm flying solo today as my co-host, psychologist Dr. Melody Fox, will not be with us today. She's taking a well-deserved break for the holidays. But each week, we will bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. We will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many great ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. Having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And we'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today is telepsychiatry. Now, to tell us more about this is Larry Vargas. Larry is the sales and marketing director of American Telepsychiatrists, which is a group of board-certified psychiatrists licensed to practice medicine in California and many other states. They work exclusively through telepsychiatry and telemental health. Now, having done some research, I've learned that their psychiatrists have years of training and experience in adult psychiatry, child and adolescent psychiatry, and geriatric psychiatry, to name just a few specialties. Larry, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. How are you?
I am doing great. How was your holiday?
Oh, it's been pretty hectic, but glad to be reunited with the family for the weekend and for the rest of the couple of days here for the holidays.
Well, that sounds good, and I too had a great holiday. I'm very, very thankful for the family, you know, and for really just a time to really take a step back and just think about what's really important to us, you know. And at this time, you know, with all the things that we see on television and all the things of, you know, what's supposed to be going wrong with everything, you know, really. We really sat around and focused on what's right and what we're thankful for and what we're grateful for. So I think if more people can do that, we'll all be in a better place.
I agree. We really appreciated the time that we had together. I've been apart from my family for 5 months. They've been living overseas. And this is the first time I've seen my wife and kids in 5 months, so it was really an extra special holiday.
Wow. Well, I'm even more thankful that you took the time to spend some time with us. Well, and as I said in the introduction, I did a little bit of research because I thought, you know, this is really something that's cutting edge, you know, and it looks like it's a direction we may be headed. So I think to start out, because there might be a lot of people out there that really don't know what we're talking about. So, Larry, tell us a little bit about what the main objectives are of American Telepsychiatrists.
Well, Alan, our main focus is to provide quality mental health to people all over, but our main focus is to bring quality psychiatric care and mental health care to rural and underserved areas. So a lot of these rural areas where it's hard to retain quality psychiatrists, areas like Indian reservations where they really have difficulty in keeping a psychiatrist in place. And they have difficulty in trying to get quality mental health care. And so in our case, what we do is we have doctors that are able to work from the their own home or from their own offices and be able to treat these people in rural areas. And we do this by utilizing the Internet. So we bring this quality care through secure, encrypted web video conferencing, and so that enables us to provide quality of care but also continuity of care. For example, if you look at a health center perhaps in the Northern Plains, they're trying to get a psychiatrist to come on board and practice in that area, and most psychiatrists would rather be maybe in Florida or perhaps San Francisco, where they have cultural centers and such, and they don't want to be living there practicing on the plains. And so a psychiatrist may come in on a temporary basis. A lot of these rural areas are forced to pay high salaries to these temporary doctors that will come in and work for 2 or 3 months, and then they'll leave and go to the next assignment. And then another temporary doctor comes in. And since they're changing doctors so frequently, one doctor may prescribe some sort of medication, the next doctor may prescribe something else, and so you have this break in the care. It's not what we call continuity of care. And with us, because our doctors are able to practice wherever they want, they can see the same patients over time, irrespective of where the doctor physically lives, and they're able to provide this continuity of care and quality of care.
Well, and that makes sense. And it also, in this day and age of people, you know, moving, you know, to different parts of the country or even different parts of the world, I think wouldn't that allow then the same psychiatrist to be able to, you know, work with them? If you have somebody who gets transferred, you know, to India, you know, because that's where their job took them, essentially you're saying that they can continue to keep seeing the person that they're comfortable with.
Exactly. I mean, we've even run ads in the Foreign Service Journal because we're looking at the expatriates or maybe embassy employees. Perhaps they're stationed in Cairo and they want to have an English-speaking American doctor. They've got their families with them. Maybe their children are on some sort of ADHD medication. This enables the ability to continue to see that doctor even though they're posted overseas.
Well, and you said that you've been overseas now for 4 or 5 months. Are you over there setting this up in other countries right now?
Oh, no. That my family was over there. I'm here in the U.S. My family was over there in Finland. But we do have some doctors that are practicing. For example, we have one doctor who is Chinese, and she's able to treat Chinese-speaking patients. So that's another aspect of the telepsychiatry is a cultural aspect. So you've got, for example, in San Francisco, you have a large Chinese-speaking population, and we have a doctor that can then treat those patients in their native language. And we're looking at being able to provide those services to some of the people in China. I've been in discussions with some of the insurance companies there in China to say that look, we have a doctor here that is a native Chinese speaker, that she can provide telepsychiatry services to patients there that may want it as well. And telepsychiatry is practiced in so many other nations as well. And telemedicine itself has been around for about 4 decades. Telepsychiatry itself is a sort of a recent addition, but it's really gained more popularity because of the benefit it provides and the flexibility it provides. And so I participate in several different groups on LinkedIn, and on some of these groups I've been discussing with doctors from Brazil and doctors from Portugal and even from Israel. And actually we have a couple of doctors that are physically living in Israel, but they're licensed in, for example, Pennsylvania, New York, Montana, and they're able to treat patients in those states from their own home in Israel.
That sounds great. We've got a question coming in over instant message, and I want to put this to you because I think it addresses one of the areas that I believe a lot of our listeners would be interested in, because a lot of what we do deals with at-risk youth. Now, again,
yes,
we try to address the entire family, and I think that we do a pretty good job of that, but I know that a lot of our listeners, either the parents are dealing with issues with their teenagers or the professionals that are working with those families. I know that we have listeners that are looking at it from that aspect. Now, I've got a question that comes in. It says, I run a residential treatment center for at-risk youth with families from all over the country. I see this as a viable option for some of our families that can't get to see local therapists on a regular basis. Do some of your members that work with families see some members of the family in person and other members who are in a program over the internet?
Well, there's actually two answers to that. Number one, our focus is to provide services via telepsychiatry, but if it happens that a patient is nearby where the doctor is physically located, then certainly we could make arrangements for the doctor to see that patient physically. But for us, it's this telepsychiatry aspect that we try to focus on, and so we deliver the services via telepsychiatry. And we've actually been trying to contact some of these at-risk youth groups within California, looking at, for example, in North Long Beach and East Compton areas, some of these groups that are set up specifically to help troubled youth, to see about setting up a psychiatric service to those locations. All they would need is a dedicated room with a computer and a video camera and a speaker microphone, and then our doctors can start treating those patients directly. We are even treating patients in some of the juvenile centers in Northern California through telepsychiatry. But there are instances where some patients do want to see the doctor in person, and for us that may not necessarily be the case, because with telepsychiatry, the only requirement by law is that the doctor has to be licensed in the state where the patient resides. So let's say that the patient is in California, but the doctor they're seeing is physically living in New Mexico, for example. Well, that's going to make it logistically impossible for the doctor to see the patient physically,
right,
which is why we do the telepsychiatry. But as I said, if the doctor is physically close to where that patient is, then certainly arrangements could be made to be seeing that patient physically. And there have been cases where we have done with some child adolescent centers where the doctor would go and maybe once a month just do a physical face-to-face.
Well, let me take it one step further. And I think what you're saying is that you can do it, but you don't necessarily have to, because you have even greater resources available to you. So, for instance, if you have a family that has moved here from, you mentioned Israel, and their child has gotten in some trouble, their child is now in a program in Utah, the family may want to talk to a psychiatrist, and at the same time, they may want that same person to talk to the child. What you're saying is that if that psychiatrist, maybe that they were seeing in Israel, is licensed in California where they're now living, they would be able to use that same person, and they could connect at times with their child who's in a program in, say, Utah, and themselves in California, and still be able to work with all of them, and because of technology, be able to see them, one-on-one or as a group.
Correct. It's essentially the same as being in the same room. And as you're saying, the telepsychiatry gives you that capability. I mean, naturally, there's some hesitation at first, but we've had tremendous positive feedback, and children and adolescents in particular are very open to telepsychiatry. They're more used to being on computers and PlayStations almost daily, so for them it's easier to open up to that doctor on the computer screen rather than going to a physical office and sitting down and meeting the doctor face-to-face in that kind of an environment.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it's going to be easier for the kids to adapt to it than maybe some of us adults that that are not as comfortable, on the computer. I know I've got some relatives that, when I talk to them about, go ahead and send me this via, the computer, or, why don't I call you on Skype or something, and, their eyes kind of glass over like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah.
But as we go forward, the technology is continuing to advance. I've had some discussions trying to see if we can participate in some of the Defense Department evaluations. They're looking at providing telepsychiatry to troops in the field via smartphones, because you can certainly do video conferencing on a smartphone, so they're trying to take it one step further, that if you have the troops deployed somewhere, they'd be able to talk to the psychiatrist via their smartphones.
Wow, that's amazing. So let me start with, in regards to more on the one-on-one type of thing, but tell us a little bit, why should I, or for an individual, rather than, than a program or a managed care, but just the individuals that are listening, why should I as an individual see a telepsychiatrist versus a local one?
Well, there's a couple of answers to that question. Number one, it could depend on where you're physically living. So let's say you're living in a rural area and you need to drive an hour and a half to get to the nearest medical center to find a psychiatrist that you can have an appointment with. With telepsychiatry, you can make an appointment with the psychiatrist and see the psychiatrist in the privacy of your own home. Let's say you're an executive, that a high-profile executive that can't be seen walking into a doctor's office. This gives them some privacy and anonymity to be able to see the psychiatrist in the privacy of his own home. Other things are the wait times. We actually did a huge improvement in one county in California. They were always taking, I think, 6 to 8 months to even get a appointment with a psychiatrist at the county facility. And we came in and started providing our telepsychiatry services and dropped that wait time from months down to weeks. And so we're able to provide the access to care. What we focus on is not only the quality and continuity of care, but also the access to care, making it easier to see the psychiatrist.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of advantages. Are there any disadvantages?
I don't see a disadvantage. As I mentioned earlier, some people may be a bit hesitant at first to talk to somebody via the screen. But once they get used to it, they really open up. We've had, as I said, tremendous feedback. I think there can be some on-the-edge disadvantages. I've been in contact with some of the Indian nations, not only in the Navajo nations, but also up in Montana, and talking to Native American psychiatrists to find out about the cultural differences. For example, some Native American tribes find it, they consider it a sign of disrespect to look at somebody in a position of authority in the eye. So that presents a challenge to us to have them actually try to look at the doctor on the screen if they don't want to make eye contact. So that can kind of pose a problem, but there's ways around it, which is why we're getting discussions with these Native American psychiatrists to help us in understanding the culture so that we can treat the patients in the right manner and still have respect for their culture and traditions.
Now, what about the services if you were performing them for like managed care agencies and on a larger scale? Tell us a little bit about how that works for the people that are out there that have HMOs and PPOs. And I know that from my experience and from people that I know, it's really difficult to get very much psychiatry anyway in most PPOs. So how are you guys getting involved in that, and what are the benefits?
Well, we're working in some medical clinics and some health centers, and what we've done is actually, I can give you one example. There's a clinic in Northern California where we actually set up an outpatient center for their telepsychiatry. So we provided the computer and the webcam and video equipment, everything they needed for that telepsychiatry center. And so then the patient just makes the appointment and they just go to that particular center, they go into that computer room, and then they connect with the doctor and they're able to see the doctor in that outpatient clinic setting. On an individual basis, you can go to our website and it will take you through a step-by-step process of answering questions so you get an idea of what type of specialist you need and so on. And then you can choose a doctor from our list of doctors that we have working for us. And you can make a selection on which kind of a doctor you want and set up an appointment and do it that way. Now, we've just started looking at a way of providing a set of, how would I call it, like a prepaid plan. We haven't put it into place yet, but we're looking at a way of setting up a prepaid plan where for a certain amount of money per month, you would get so many visits per month. You'd get an initial consultation and maybe 3 or 4 phone calls a month and a couple of follow-ups per month, all for this prepaid plan. And as I said, we're still working on that. But, pardon me?
But what I'm wondering is that, again, for those people, many, many people out there have, take, for instance, Blue Cross or Aetna, or, they have a, something that tells them what they can and can't do within their PPO or within their HMO. Is there anything like a conversion of benefits or something to where they can go in and say, look, you know, according to what I read in my HMO plan, you know, I have the option of seeing, you know, this group of psychiatrists, and I get, you know, 20 visits a year or whatever it might say. Is there something in there from a conversion of benefit standpoint that says, you know, to where they can say, you know what, I'd feel a lot more comfortable if I could just do this from home and do it, you know, through telepsychiatry. What would be the best way for them to talk to their HMO to be able to get that covered? Or is that something that's being done?
It's kind of a difficult situation. We've been in contact with some of these insurance companies as well, and it's going to take a lot of talking to some of these insurance companies because, in general, they either want you to see the psychiatrist face-to-face or they want you to use a specific telepsychiatrist in a specific center. We've had some insurance companies that have literally come back and said, oh, we don't cover that, and we've turned around and showed them where they do cover it. They state laws have mandated it, and then, of course, the insurance companies have turned back and said, oh, yeah, you're right, we can do that. And we've been in discussions with some pediatric clinics in Texas where they had called us because they've had no psychiatrist available at whatsoever. And so they found us on the web and had been talking to me, and we're looking to see how we can start providing services to them. But the insurance companies were saying, well, we don't cover that. And we found all the state licenses and state requirements and mandates and gave that information to the doctor, who then presented that to the insurance company, and they said, well, yeah, okay, well, we will cover that.
Okay.
So you really have to just get in the face of the insurance company in order for them to pay for it, but they do pay for it. And Blue Cross, for example, has been pretty much one of the first to be covering in Texas, for example, telemedicine and telepsychiatry.
Right. So And you know, you may get mad at me now when I say this, but if I hear what you're saying is that if somebody is not sure, or if they talk to their, you know, their HMO or PPO and they tell them, you know, that it's not covered, they can give you a call or they can contact your group, and you may be able to help steer them in a better way to figure out, you know, how to get it covered. Would that be a safe?
Well, we might be able to give them information as to what the state law requirements as far as telemedicine coverage goes. But for the insurance themselves, our doctors have to be credentialed by that particular insurance company. So, in other words, if you have Blue Cross, for example, and the doctor that you want to select is not credentialed by Blue Cross, then, you know, we can't do anything other than see if we can be paid up front, and then you would have to try and get reimbursed from the insurance company, which may or may not work. It's a bit of a difficulty. We've looked at the problems associated with the fee-for-service patients, and we're trying to work more closely now with the different insurance companies. The CEO, Dr. John Schaefer, who started the company, and I have been looking at ways that we can work more closely with the insurance companies where patients won't have such a difficult time at trying to get reimbursed for these services, because it's such a necessary service. And we're trying to show the insurance companies that we can do this at a reduced rate as well. And so we're working on that. We're trying to make it easier. But at the moment, it's really a lot of back and forth discussions with the insurance companies to try and get them to cover some of the telepsychiatry. And again, it varies on the different insurance companies. It varies on state to state. We've been looking at all the different laws. Even the telepsychiatry laws vary from state to state. And there's no one set rule on how telepsychiatry is practiced in California as opposed to Texas or Georgia. So we're learning a lot, too, as we go along on what we can and can't do, and what sort of services can or can be provided and what will or will not be covered.
Right. Well, but what you're saying is it's safe for me to tell people out there is that if you've tried and if you're not sure, it's okay to contact you guys, and I'll give the website here in a moment to see if they can gain any additional information in regards to the laws or in regards to if particular doctors are certified through that carrier. And I'll also add something that I've done in the past. I mean, it's a conversion of benefits. And to give an example, had a family that had called and said, you know, we want our child to go to a particular program, and the program was going to cost, you know, $60,000, but they'd be there for about a year. And the insurance company said, no, we don't cover that. And they said, but we do cover, and they covered, you know, immediate inpatient hospitalization. So I ended up talking to their insurance company because the parents were having difficulty with this. And what I advised them was that the inpatient was going to cost about $30,000 a month. And we were in like October. And I said, so what's going to happen, as I'm telling the insurance company, is that you're going to burn up $60,000 before the end of the year, and then they're going to start a new year. So literally in the next 4 months, they can burn up $120,000, or you can set up a conversion of care and allow them, their child, to go to this program that's going to cost $60,000, but it's going to be over a year. So, you know, just do the math and, you know, find a way to make this work. And they did. The insurance company found a way to make it work. They asked the family to sign something that they weren't going to also do the inpatient at the same time as this, but it worked out. So I think if you're diligent and you really, you know, I'm talking now to the listeners, I know you guys are diligent, but, you know, if you're diligent to really push them and show them, really when it comes down to it, they're making dollars and cents decisions. And if you can show them that it's in the better interest of them, oftentimes you can get what you want for your family. Now, we're going to take a break for just a moment. We are talking with Larry Vargas. The subject is telepsychiatry. So keep listening. We will be right back. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. All right, we're back. We are talking with Larry Vargas. The subject is telepsychiatry. We are talking about really being able to talk to your psychiatrist from anywhere in the world. So, Larry, why don't you, I mean, we were talking about some of the challenges, What are the biggest challenges that telepsychiatry has to deal with right now?
I think the biggest challenge is really just breaking down the barriers to telepsychiatry. There's some reluctance on the part of some hospitals and clinics to utilize it, and I think it's a bit about resistance to new ideas and new ways of working, but many of these same places are using other aspects of telemedicine, such as teleneurology or telestroke. And so telepsychiatry is just as effective as these. And I think it's just a matter of really educating these hospitals and clinics on how well we can provide the services and at a much lower cost. For example, if a clinic is looking for a psychiatrist, they need to pay the doctor a salary, they need to pay his vacation, his health benefits, everything that you would need as a staff employee. We, on the other hand, come in as a contractor. There's no overhead for us. We carry our own malpractice insurance, and we only charge for the hour the patient is in the chair. And so we can provide these services at a much reduced rate, which is really important, especially in these current economic times when there's so many cutbacks and so many budget cuts in many of these hospitals that no longer have any psychiatric services and forcing patients to go great distances to find a psychiatrist. So we're able to get in there and provide these services. And so for us, the biggest challenge is really getting over that hurdle of showing the hospitals what we can do.
Well, now you mentioned cost. Are you in a position to where you can share that with us, or is that something that is so varied that it's hard to go into?
Yeah, it is varied. It is hard to go into. We'll charge a particular rate for a clinic, and of course, it's less than what psychiatrists or what hospitals utilize these temporary psychiatrists. They're called locum tenens. And they'll work these temporary jobs. They'll go in and work for maybe 3 months, and then they're off at another assignment for 6 months and so on. And our rates are usually less than what you would pay for a locum tenens. And yet we can provide this quality of care and continuity of care and be able to improve the facility. As I mentioned, that one county hospital that had that huge wait period, they were actually being fined by Medicare and Medi-Cal because their intake, the wait time for patients coming in was so long, they were out of compliance. And so we were able to come in at a lower cost and have them meet their Medi-Cal and Medicare compliance and turn things around.
Nice.
At a lower cost. So it's very helpful for them. But in general, we really want to raise the awareness about the importance of maintaining mental health. And we want to raise awareness about using telepsychiatry as a means to support mental health. Do you know that there are millions of Americans that have no access to mental health services? And so the U.S. Department of Health Resources and Services maintain a database of HPSAs. Now, HPSA stands for Health Professional Shortage Areas. And in this database, medically underserved areas are broken down by state and county and medical specialty. And I went on to that database and I did a search and looked just for psychiatry. And as of November this year, there's over 3,000 mental health HPSAs with more than 88 million people living in them. And it would take more than 5,000 new psychiatrists to meet their need for mental health providers. And that's with a ratio of 10,000 patients to one doctor, which is still far from ideal. And this database assigns a score to indicate severity of need. That scale runs from 0 to 25, with 25 indicating the most critical need. And in California alone, there are 30 HPSAs with a score of 20 or higher. So clearly, something needs to be done to address this problem, and we're promoting telepsychiatry as a viable solution to meet these shortages.
Well, and while you were saying that, it just reminded me of something else, because I was speaking to some people who are graduating, young people that are graduating college this year and wondering where they're going to look for jobs. I think you just pointed out there still are jobs out there. You know, I was getting the impression from some of them that jobs were hard to come by in this field. But it sounds like if you're willing to, to think outside the box a little bit, there may be plenty of jobs out there for them.
Oh, definitely. There's definitely a need for psychiatrists. Always there's a need for psychiatrists.
Now, I was going to say, we've got another question coming in, kind of a question comment. It says, what an interesting concept. Can you tell us about any success statistics you have to show that this type of therapy actually works?
Statistics, I don't think we've really been looking at the statistics, but if you look on our website, you see a lot of real comments from some of the patients that have been seeing our doctors, and they're really, really excited about working with our doctors. Some of the hospitals have even put in comments on how grateful they are that we're able to provide the services to them, looking at how we've improved the overall feel of the hospital. The psychiatrists that were there before were overworked and they weren't too happy, but we were able to come in and provide additional services, and so now the psychiatrists themselves are in a much better mood and really find it a great place to work. but more importantly, the patient. Again, I can't stress enough, if you look on the website, we have some, there's a comment from one 12-year-old who said that it was really cool. He really enjoyed seeing the doctor on the computer instead of having to go to an office. And that's the kind of thing we've been seeing over time. Yeah. And it's just really, it's kind of hard to describe it, but it's really important that that the patients feel comfortable. And what we're finding with the telepsychiatry is the patients feel extremely comfortable meeting with the doctors over the computers. Statistic-wise, I don't have any statistics, but we haven't had any negative comments from any of the patients or any of the facilities where we've been providing the services.
All right. And for those out there, Larry just mentioned the website, you know, that you can go to the website. The website address is www.caltelepsych.com. That's caltelepsych.com. Larry, is there another website, or is that the best one for them to go to?
That's the best website to go to. We're in the process of changing our website. We're trying to make it a little bit easier to get to. And once the new website is up and running, either the old website or the new one will work. I can't tell you the new one yet because it's not live. But
okay.
Later, once it goes live, the old one will take you to the new website.
Well, now, how many therapists or how many psychiatrists are registered with your organization?
Oh, gosh. I would say at the moment we probably have at least 25, but we're constantly adding more as we find other opportunities in other states. Because for us, as I mentioned earlier, the doctor needs to be licensed in the state where the patient resides. So when we were contacted by this pediatric clinic in Texas, at that time we didn't have any doctors licensed in Texas. So we put up some ads, and we've been getting in a lot of responses from different physician job site ads. And so we have had a tremendous response from doctors from all over the U.S. And we've opened it up to, say, any state, because now, as I mentioned earlier, we were trying to put together this new plan for patients to do have like a prepaid plan. And so, of course, we need doctors available in all states. But we have currently, if off the top of my head, I know we have doctors in California, New Mexico, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Florida, Montana, various states. And, of course, it's not that the doctor is physically located there. It's that they have a license to practice in that particular state.
Gotcha. Now we've got another comment that's coming in. This comment says, two of my clients moved outside of the state last year, so I incorporated sessions by phone, and it has worked very well. I just viewed your site, and this is obviously the wave of the future. I'm so happy to see this organization expanding so rapidly. So it sounds like you may have somebody that's going to be contacting you to want to become one of your registered psychiatrist, because it seems like they're pretty interested.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be fantastic. We're always looking to get more doctors on staff.
Okay. Now is this done via Skype, or is it something similar to Skype? Explain a little bit how that part works.
Okay. We don't use Skype ourselves. There are some doctors out there that do utilize Skype. But for us, the quality isn't where it needs to be. One of the requirements is that it has to be HIPAA compliant, and HIPAA compliance means it's the Health Insurance Privacy Act. So the software that we use has to be HIPAA compliant. Skype is now; it didn't used to be. But the one we use currently, we're using a product called Nephsys, and it's HIPAA compliant, and it provides 256-bit encryption. And it's a similar thing. You've got the screen, and the doctor can see the patient, and the patient can see the doctor. And depending on what we're connecting to, if it's in a person's home, of course, it's just face-to-face. In some of our outpatient clinics, there's another system that they're using there where the camera even gives the doctor the ability to zoom in and out to get a better look at the patient's facial expressions or look at his gestures to kind of read how the patient is feeling. And then we use a webcam. Typically, we're just using a Microsoft LifeCam web camera because it provides really good clarity of the video, and then just a speaker microphone. And that's all we need, and of course an internet connection, of course. And the best is really to have a wired connection, but it works wireless as well.
Okay, and here another instant message is coming across, and this one says, how do you handle a crisis or an emergency with a patient?
Well, it depends on the crisis or the emergency. For some of the outpatient centers that we're treating, there's usually a psychiatric nurse on standby or nearby, and so the doctor can then tell the nurse to either prescribe to administer a particular medicine to the patient. The doctor will tend to talk them down or calm them down just by speaking. If the patient has an emergency, of course he can try to contact the doctor directly. But if it's something like he's suicidal, then it's best to contact the suicidal hotline at that moment, because it's not necessarily that you can call the doctor and reach him. Our patients see us through a preset or an appointment over the computer. So if they're having a quick emergency, they can't necessarily reach the doctor immediately. That being said, we do have doctors that are working in some of the emergency room settings or inpatient settings, and in that case, let's say that you've got a patient that comes into an emergency room, and the attending physician there sees that he may have some mental problem or psychotic problem. They can contact our doctor, and our doctor will respond within I think it's a 1 hour window that we respond for an emergency.
Okay. Now, are you also doing things that would be the equivalent to like a group psychiatry or family psychiatry? Again, if you have a child that is in a program somewhere and the family is somewhere else, are they seeing them individually, or are they literally conferencing them in to where you can have mom and dad in one location, 15-year-old son in a specialized program, and then psychiatrist in a third location? Are they blending it that way, or is it still more or less one-on-one?
We can do it both ways. We could either do it one-on-one, or with the software that we're using, we can have them all in at the same time in the same conference. So we can blend them in together, or we can do it one-on-one, whichever the family and patient prefer.
Well, and I think that part sounds good, and again, especially with a lot of the listeners that I know that we have, you know, where they're working with a program, and the child is now in the program, because one of the things that we do, I mean, as West Shield, is we transport the child out there. So I think that could be something that could be very beneficial, where the parents can know that the same psychiatrist that they're talking to is talking to their child, and when it's determined that it's appropriate by all the professionals involved, that they can put them all together and have them work more as a group. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, definitely. To me, too. It's much better to have the same psychiatrist talking to both parties rather than having two psychiatrists try to share notes and keep each other up to date. It's much better to have a single psychiatrist talking to all involved.
Okay. And another question that's just coming through is that how are the doctors that you use credentialed, and is there any special credentialing that is done over and above what the state mandates?
Well, all the doctors that we hire are board certified. There are doctors that can be what's called board eligible, meaning they haven't taken the certification exam. So that's what you would see, like a BE psychiatrist is board eligible. But all of ours are BC board certified. That's the only level of psychiatrist that we'll take in. And of course, the psychiatrists will take additional schooling and certifications for a different specialty. So for a child adolescent, they have to take additional schooling on top of general psychiatry, or if they're doing forensics or CNL or geriatrics, they would need to take additional schooling on top of that. The credentialing is done for each state, and if we go into a particular clinic where we're going to provide services, then they will also credential our doctors as well, so that our doctors are credentialed for that particular facility. The different states, they may have to go through different licensing processes. Some states have a reciprocity agreement. So, for example, a doctor can be licensed in California, and that same license will allow him to practice in Arizona. Other states will have, for Montana, for example, and Montana is one that has a severe shortage of psychiatrists. They actually provide a telemedicine license. So a doctor in California or Arizona or New Mexico that wants to get a license to practice in Montana, they can get this telemedicine license that takes about 3 to 4 weeks as opposed to a full licensure, which is 3 to 4 months. Other states like Texas, they require a full licensure. So there's just no shortcutting. So it's going to take 3 to 4 months for the doctor to get licensed and credentialed in that state. But we have a lot of our doctors that are currently getting the telemedicine license for Montana because they have such a shortage up there, so that we can start expanding our services. We've been in contact with the Indian Health Services because they have a tremendous need for psychiatrists up there. And this 3 to 4 week turnaround for the credentialing makes it easier for our doctors to get licensed quickly and start providing services to the people that need it there.
Well, Larry, I got to tell you, I think that you guys are onto something. I think that this is something we're going to be seeing a lot more of. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and taking a little bit of time away from your family to do so. So thank you very much. Again, if anybody wants to learn more about it, you can either go to our website. If you're driving out there, you probably already know ours, but it's www.answers4thefamilyblog.com. Or to go to Larry's, it's www.caltelepsych.com. Larry, again, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. And for everybody else out there listening, as we come to the close of the year, please know how much we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your questions. However you get them to us, if it's instant message, if it's sending in emails, we're going to try to do whatever we can to get those questions out there. Keep listening. As we go into the new year, we're going to have some really, really powerful guests. I know that to start off the new year, we're going to have, back by popular demand, Al Killeen, and it's Quantum Parenting in a Newtonian World. Al is incredibly dynamic. It is a great show. I recommend everybody listen to it. We're going to have other guests to talk about a lot of different subjects. We have Dr. Fran Cohen-Praver coming up. Could your relationship survive infidelity? We're going to have Peter Bergman. If you are overwhelmed, he has a way that you can fix it in 18 minutes each day. So plan on listening to that show. We have many, many more shows coming up. We have Michelle Skeen, The Critical Partner, How to End the Cycle of Criticism and Get the Love You Want. So everybody, wishing you a wonderful new year. It is going to be great. And just keep listening, and we will keep trying to bring you answers to help make your 2012 as wonderful as it possibly can. Thank you.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.